Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. I'm going to go ahead and jump off into it. I'm going to let my brothers handle this because I know they've had some previous beef with Mr. Lewis Riddick, and I know he blocked Dan on Twitter. He was talking real spicy. I don't know what was on NFL Network, ESPN, said the Bears are the worst team.
Yeah. Yeah. saying all kind of stuff, bro. Saying all kind of stuff.
Getting out of hand. So I'm going to let y'all jump into it, man. Because I know y'all had run-ins with Mr. Lewis Riddick.
All right, Dan, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I mean, it don't matter, man. You can go ahead. You can kick it off, man. I'll follow after you.
All right. Well, in regards of Mr. Lewis Riddick, I've lost all respect. But as I eloquently stated on Twitter previously, this is why this man is not a general manager, is because he reacts out of emotion, similar to a woman. He doesn't think with a clear head, and he was so gung-ho over the Chicago Bears during the stint that his homeboy, for lack of a better word, Nagy was there. You know, he the one termed the coin Maserati Mitch that ended up being a fucking Pinto. He tagged the fact of the moves, the off-season moves of acquiring the nutless Gale that we know as Nick Foles as a great move because he knows the offense. He knows how to command the offense. This is an amazing move. This is like a seamstress. It goes right in line. That shit didn't work out. Failed miserably. Granted, it got us a couple dubs, but it didn't do what we thought it was going to do. Then the fact that, you know, we let go of our battering ram and what's the running back? Number 24, Howard.
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard. He said that was he didn't fit the offense. He didn't do that. Actually, he was our battering ram, so why would we get rid of that? You know what I'm saying? That was the tough yardage. And remember, a lot of the fourth and short situations we didn't get because we got rid of our workhorse battering ram back, right? Mm-hmm. So that failed miserably. Every move that failed miserably, he supported 100%. And given the fact that our roster was well worse last year, take the names out of it, folks. See, and this is what people don't understand, because this seems like the national run with pundits this year. They don't have any names I recognize. So this team is going to be awful. Okay. Well, let's take the names out of it, folks, because, again, that's what we're caught up on. It seems like that's what the Chicago media is caught up on, is the names, the Khalil Macks, the Akeem Hicks, and guys like that who really haven't been what they were for well over 2 to 3 seasons. Not taking anything away from what they have accomplished in the NFL, because they are great players. But, again, what have you done for me lately? And you're only as good as the last film that you put out. So we don't have any big names, right? That doesn't diminish the fact that we're going to be a solid top 10 defense. Where does names equate defense? Because we had these same names last year, and what did it get us? A losing season. As it has the year before, too. A losing season. And we had the names. So now we don't have the names, and we have a worser squad off, right? Just like the New York Jets. And we're going to be the worst team in the NFL, according to this dick sucker. Yes, dick sucker. Cock sucker, as I like to put it. Because, again, you was swinging from the nuts of the Bears when your lover was there. Now we fired your boyfriend, and now you all, you know, you got your little panties, your panties is all moist because he's gone. That's weak, bro. And that's a weak take. and I can't accept that. And every, and you know what? All respect that I have for you is now gone, homie, because you're not credible. You only act off emotion. Oh, they fired my friend. And then the fact that they didn't hire you as a general manager, that's why you're upset. I don't even think you was in the running, to be totally honest. I don't even think you was considered. You after that, you've gotten that same reason for why Eric Bieniemy is not being considered as a head coach. Somewhere along the line, that stigma has placed you and has stuck with you, and everybody ain't telling the same lie about you. Lewis Riddick writer. So that is the honest to God truth on the situation that's going on at hand now, because you can't separate friendship from business, and you entangle, like Jada, a woman, you get into these entanglements of mixing friendship with business, and you don't know how to separate the two, and your feelings come out. And your feelings came out about that because, one, you was unhappy about how they did Matt Nagy, and you was unhappy that you wasn't considered for a general manager position with this team, with this organization. So we get the backlash of us being the worst team in the NFL. When just last year, you were coining us, oh, the Bears could make a push with Justin Fields and the new offensive line additions. The Chicago Bears are doing this because, man, stop. Stop. Your man's wasn't shit. And my above the rim reference, flat out, just like Motar said to Boogaloo, yo, just like I said, man, your mans ain't shit. Flat out. Lou Lug, do dirty, go get the car. Flat out. I'm going to coin that on. I'm going to put that on Twitter and be like, yo, Lewis Riddick, flat out. Just like I said, yo, just like I thought, your mans ain't shit. Straight up. Cause that's weak, bro. That's just weak. But I'm gonna let my man Dan ride on you, on your bitch made ass, cause you deserve it.
It's funny, man. You know, we sit here and we talk about the Bears, and you know, we talk about the Bears. I have my opinions. Devorey has his. Roy, you got your opinions, right? You know what I mean? On the roster, on play. And it's based off of what we see, right? We do our homework and things like that. I'm not going to accuse this man of not doing his homework, because I think he's brilliant in that capacity. He knows football. It'd be stupid of me to say that he doesn't know football. So I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with, the guy knows football. He's intelligent when it comes to the game of football. He played the game. You know what I mean? He knows what he's talking about on the football field, what he sees. So I'm not going to discredit him on that, but, and that's a huge caveat, huge, but, right. Mm-hmm. Big one, a badunkadunk, right. You know, huge. And I'm going to say, but his opinions are swayed easily, and they're swayed with regard to Matt Nagy. And I called this last year when, you know, Justin Fields was constantly put in a bad situation, a bad predicament. You know, he had four snaps with the first team starters, and then they threw him out to that Cleveland game with no protection, five-man protection. Everybody knew it was bad. Everybody on the face of the earth. But Matt Nagy didn't you know, realize it. And Lewis Riddick turned a blind eye to it because he was trying to back Matt Nagy. Now, when your view of a football game, a player, and everything is swayed because of your friendship with somebody, then I lose respect for what you're talking about. Because now you don't make sense. Now it makes absolutely no sense. So, you know, that situation happened. Somebody asked Lewis Riddick about, you know, what do you think the problem is? And he went on this tirade against Justin Fields, saying that Justin Fields needs to do this, that, and blah, blah, blah. And he starts pointing out all the negative stuff that he did without mentioning anything about Matt Nagy's game call, about his play calling, about his protection packages, about his game plan of you know, sitting Justin Fields back there and not letting him roll out, the hitches that were constantly being run, just, you know, everything that was bad about it. He didn't point to none of that. And he is solely focused on what Justin Fields should be doing. Now, when you're handicapped as a player, certain things you can't do. So I'm looking at it, I'm saying, okay, I look at it and I say, you know, I criticize Justin Fields and say he needs to hold on. He needs to handle the ball carefully, right? Not drop the ball, not fumble the ball, protecting the ball at all costs. I'm not worried about the interceptions from last year because I think that's growing pains with, you know, of course you don't want him to throw interceptions, but that's growing pains with playing quarterback. But protecting the ball, holding on to the ball and not dropping the ball at the end of a run, those are issues that I think he really, really needed to work on. And I called those out. But at the same time, I'm able to call out Matt Nagy for what he did wrong. And this is something Lewis Riddick seems to be unable to do. And he was unable to do it. So I posted something and I said, you know, this is your boy. I posted the video of the 40-year-old virgin, you know, the scene where Kevin Hart was in there talking to Romney and they was going back and forth and they got into it. And he said, okay, is this your man? Both of y'all then, both of y'all getting clapped up. And he stormed out. So I posted that. And off of that video, Lewis Riddick got upset and blocked me on Twitter. Okay. Whatever, bro. You can block who you want. It doesn't bother me. But once again, that feeds into a sensitive nature that this dude has. And to me, I don't want nobody that's super sensitive like that, that can't take criticism, that can't take anybody questioning anything, because that's more of what we've had with Matt Nagy. Now, I was on the board. I was on board because I liked Lewis Riddick and I saw what he was able to see on the football field and his knowledge of the game. I liked it and I enjoyed it. And I said he would be a nice candidate for the GM job. But when you see how his views can be swayed due to friendships and then the sensitive nature that he is as a person, to be so sensitive to want to block somebody for that video, to me was kind of, you know, that's kind of weak, right? So I called it for what it is. But I called this before, and then he turns around this year, and once again, he's still basically back in Matt Nagy because he's still unable to see what everybody else in the world is able to see. And it's not just fans in Chicago. It's not, you know, it's media members. It's players. It's coaches around the league. Everybody has seen what we've seen, and everybody can understand it. There was a point in time where people were saying, I could put it better. You know, Keyshawn Johnson, he said, you give me Justin Fields right now, I could do better than what Matt Nagy has done with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And this is from a guy who was a wide receiver who never had played, you know, coached in the NFL. And he's saying, I could do better. Literally, I can install a game plan that suits him better than what Matt Nagy has done.
Mm-hmm. Keyshawn is on board. And very out front, open with saying Matt Nagy is not a coach in the NFL. He's not a head coach.
He's not.
And he said that when we hired him. He was like, I don't see how he got the job. Exactly. What did he do that qualifies him to be a head coach in the NFL?
Yeah. And it's one thing riding with your boys. It's one thing to do that. But when you're paid to be an analyst or you're paid to be somebody who talks about the game, bro, I don't need your personal feelings involved that much,
right,
into the situation. And then to get on TV and say, you know, they may have the worst record, this may be the worst team in the NFL going forward this year. To me, that was stupid. That was a dumb statement. And it was solely based on your boy, your homeboy, not being here anymore. You know what I'm saying? So
you know, if Matt Nagy was here, he wouldn't have said that crap.
Bro. If Matt Nagy was here, ain't no way he would have said that. He would have talked about how good the team could be, all the positive things that he could point to.
He only had and one losing season in Chicago. Because your boy's not here
now, it's the worst. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. You kidding me? You really now at that point in time when you say something like that, and we know that this is the case, you've insulted everybody in Chicago's intelligence. Let's just be real. You insulted everybody's intelligence because you act like we're stupid enough not to understand that because your boy's not here, this is why you're saying this. I've lost all respect for the dude, man. Straight up.
Yeah, because it's so painfully obvious that Matt Nagy gets fired. He doesn't get any view for the GM. They're the worst team in the NFL. If Matt Nagy was here, he would have went on and said, oh, he only had one losing season, the 6-11 season. Justin was a rookie. We already know. He wouldn't have said that. So, I mean, you have fans that are like, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Bro, what are y'all getting out of this? He's not going to hire you at ESPN, you know? And if Matt, you know damn well if Matt Nagy was still in charge of his team, he wouldn't be saying what he was saying. Matt Nagy was a horrible coach. And like you said, Dan, a lot of people start getting on it, like the guy Warren Sapp, like national NFL writers and stuff like. Mm-hmm. They posted the Cleveland game, like, this is horrible. Matt Nagy should be arrested. You know, I posted something on Twitter right before we came in while I was talking about offensive line. Yeah, they gave up a lot of sacks. Some of that was on the quarterback, Justin Fields, holding on to the ball too long. See, we love Justin Fields, and we'll point out his flaws. He hold on to the ball too long at times. He needed to get the ball out quicker. Some of that is offensive line got beaten. Some of that is because – a lot of it is because Matt Nagy just put him in bad positions. Nick Foles said this in 2020.
Yeah.
He was like, you're calling plays. I don't have time to execute. He said this to Brian Greasy.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Greasy said, he said, I don't have time. I can't run that play. Matt, everybody remembers Nick Foles yelling at Matt Nagy on the sideline.
And that's when he got demoted.
He said specifically, he's calling plays that I know will not work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now you got Justin Fields, who's a rookie, who's not Nick Foles, who's been in the NFL forever, that knows the play won't work. He's just going to run it. He's a rookie. Coach told me to run the play. So think about when people played the Bears and Khalil Mack. Do you remember all the stuff they did to stop Khalil Mack? They had tight ends blocking. They had running backs chipping. When have you ever seen Matt Nagy do that to a dominant pass rusher?
Not one time. Nobody.
He did not chip, block, triple, double Myles Garrett. He just said, here's Jason Peters blocking one-on-one. Good luck, Justin Fields.
And I ain't going to lie. When that happened, that day, I said, he sabotaged this kid.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah, in the Spaces. We hopped right on Spaces.
He's trying to put it out. He's trying to put it out that he's not ready to play. So you make him look as bad as possible so that everybody will shut up and say, yeah, he ain't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his goal was.
Remember that one game?
How you put your player in harm's way like that?
It was a preseason game versus Tennessee. And it was, what's his name? It's the brother. He was saying, Justin Fields rolls to the right through that dime to Jasper Horsted. And he was like, well, Matt Nagy wants Justin Fields to look good, but not too good.
Not that good.
Not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck is that?
He already knew.
You know, I mean, bro, the Bears passing offense. I post these stats all the time. The Bears passing offense with 16 touchdowns, mm-hmm. 20 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The whole passing offense. The defense was, even the secondary kind of sucked, but we still ranked 13th, right? Missing Khalil Mack, missing Akeem Hicks. We ran for 2,000 yards. This entire team was dragged down by the passing offense. Who was the passing game coordinator for the Chicago Bears for the past 4 years? Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
You threw more interceptions as a team than you threw touchdowns. That's not all on the players, bro.
No.
These dudes can play. You know, as much as we get on Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, these dudes have played in the NFL.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous, man. Outside of him, camp is over. What do y'all feel about minicamp? Like, the little stories coming out. I know the media only got like 3 games that they can watch out of 9. You know, so like they were talking about Justin Fields one day. He had a couple good practices, but but I noticed how they emphasized on the one time he had a up and down practice.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had all the extras come out. Justin Fields had a tip pass. I don't know. It might be a little rocky. Something might be concerning. But when he throws 5 touchdowns, it's like Justin Fields had a good day, threw 5 touchdowns. Nothing else.
It's crazy.
Love the detail.
I think you know, the Bears media, national media. I'm not even gonna worry about them because it is what it is. But the local media, they feed off negativity, bro. They just do. like you said, you know, the positive aspects, you know, he threw 5 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, yeah, decent day. Good day for Justin Fields. Good day for the offense. And you move on to something else, right? But then, you know, if he struggles just a little bit or you know, up and down or, you know, oh, now we have stories. Now we have writings that pop up. And to me, it's you just feed off of negativity and you pass that out there. You know, I'm not sure what they gained by that, because just as much can be gained by focusing on the positive. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. So I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't get it.
I just feel that they are super, super, super negative. The Chicago media, in a sense, you know, like they wanted to pull up Larry Borum's bad lowlights. And then after showing the lowlights, I know it's tripping you out, right? But after showing the lowlights, and for those who was wondering what the hell they laughing at, I changed my avatar here, and I'm like a talking fox. So
with a bear's background.
With a bear's background. So it's like tripping everybody out right now. But, you know, they show Larry Borum's lowlights and then mixed it and then didn't show, you know, the highlights of the fact that he was shutting down. I think Will pointed it out and was like, don't just show the lowlights. You know what I'm saying? Show that he was shutting down, you know, Nick Bosa. Show that he was shutting down, you know, TJ Watt. Show that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, instead of clearly not doing what, you know, not showing not telling the whole story. That's bull. You know what I'm saying? That's poor journalism. But hey,
you got people that's rooting for failure, in my opinion. Yeah. I look at it like that. Okay. I'm just like, you know, do guys want success for this team, or do you want them to fail for some odd reason? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they
want to
be right.
And it's like, yeah, they want to be right. What I said was right. We should have never drafted him. The GM is wrong guy. You know, the assistant GM is wrong. So on and so forth. I think that's really what they want, so that they can kind of feed their own ego and act like they were on top of things or on something.
Yeah, a lot of people just want to be right, man. Like, yeah, I did that. I kept saying that. And I usually don't care. People post on Twitter, but sometimes I'm like, come on, man. You gotta be honest. You know, like, you can't show the guy getting beat one game, the same play. And like, the dude blocked TJ Watt and freaking Nick Bosa back to back games. Right? Like, come on, man. Like, you gotta tell a whole story. Like, that's the thing. When we tell you guys, we're gonna tell you the positive, like, we love Justin Fields, but we'll point out his flaws. That's being balanced. It's not being balanced just trying to, you know, use what fits your narrative. You got to tell the whole story, man. You know, you got to tell the whole story. You can't just, you know, pick and choose what you want to do. And you see a lot of that with the media, and then you get the bloggers who try to capitulate to those media members because they want to be media members. And that's why some of these guys will latch on to what some of these guys are saying. Is because they want to be in that position, you know. And so you just got to read between the lines, which you don't have to do that, right? You can have your own opinion and, you know, be respected by those guys. Another topic we got to touch on. Matter of fact, while we're still on it, let's talk about the offensive line shuffle.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
So I guess Braxton Jones will begin snaps at the left tackle. And they moved Borum to the right tackle. And I guess right now, Tevin Jenkins is with the second string. Now, the caveat with this is the media have only seen 3 minicamp practices. They have been a total of 9. This is what they see. We don't know what's going on when they're not there. You know, we already know how the NFL is. They can be playing mind games. But my take on it, I saw Braxton Jones. He has a good skill set. He's 6'5", he can move. But these guys haven't had pads on, right? So you can't really judge offensive line play without pads. There is nothing to grab. It's literally like flag football. You ever play flag football, y'all? Like, how do you really block? You just basically get in the way of the dude and hopefully the quarterback get the pass off, because it ain't much blocking going on in flag football. Dude, I remember I played flag football in Army. Yeah, the team, dude, I was a menace, bro. I was like Javon Curse out there, dude. I ain't no defensive end. Bro, I was intercepting Pat Dudes, throwing the balls, intercepting, and then backfield, jumping in and grabbing it. I was getting like 10 seconds a game. He was crazy. So, until they put on those pads, bro, we can't really tell anything about the offensive line.
Yeah.
And that's fact. And again, like I said, this is 7-on-7, but on the offensive line scale. What people don't understand is in any sport, I don't know, you know, how far a lot of individuals have played it up to, but I've surpassed the high school level, right? And playing this game of football at a very high level, pretty much every level except pro. So when coaches, you know, that's how they get their looks, folks. So us reading into the shuffling of the offensive line and painting a narrative like this is going to be the starting core and the young fifth rounder that we drafted is going to be the starting left tackle. We don't know. Okay. Because again, all they're doing is shuffling rotations out and seeing which guy performs the best at which spot. Okay. Mm-hmm. The reason why they're getting a look at the fifth rounder, because when the season starts, folks, I hate to, you know, I hate to do this to you and crush your dreams and hopes, but when the season starts, folks, they're putting in, they're installing their game plans for offenses that they're going to run week one, okay? And they don't have time to sit up with practice being as limited as it is and with OTAs and everything else. Once the offseason camp starts, folks, they're getting ready for the San Francisco 49ers. From the point that they report all the way up until September 11th, they're installing their game plan for the 49ers, okay? They don't have time to sit here and, okay, let's see who's good here. Let's see who's good there. Let's see. That's what they use the OTAs for in the mini camps, okay? It's not an inclination of who's starting, because I'm pretty sure they already know who the hell is starting that tackle by now. Let's get that understood. They know who's starting that left and right tackle already. Those are the ones that you probably ain't seeing at left and right tackle. You ever give that some thought? Maybe they drop back and pull a muscle or get hurt. They trying to limit any type of risk to any starters that they really have a dire need for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And trying to catch Justin Fields up as quickly as possible in the office. That's why he's getting the reps with the first, second, third, and fourth stringers. Okay. So they're trying to limit any injury that they could have to any key component on that offensive line. So that's why you're seeing fifth rounders start at left tackle. That's why you're starting to see, you know, Sam Mustapha get looks at guard and not center, and him getting looks at the center as the backup and not seeing the young man that we just signed in free agency at center. That's why you're seeing him being kicked over to guard. That's why you're seeing all this moves and shuffling, folks, is because they're sitting here and they're like, okay, worst case scenario, if we were to suffer an injury here, where can we plug this guy? Let's say left tackle go down. Where can we plug him? Let's say right guard go down. Where can we plug, you know, him? We can shuffle it around and see what works. But I'm pretty sure they have their starting offensive line component already in place. Mm-hmm. So to go on this wild tangent that some fifth rounder is the second coming of what's my man out there at Dallas, the left tackle?
Tyron Smith.
Yeah. To say that, you know, this fifth rounder is the second coming of Tyron Smith, man, is when we ain't even put pads on and we ain't seen no blocking assignments, we ain't seen him picked up no zap, no gap zones, read blitzes or anything like that to be able to read different complex off defenses and different fronts that he may see in the NFL, the fuck out of here. Starting right now, really? And we ain't put pads on.
Right.
Do y'all understand how crazy this sounds to say that? As if we had nobody there in the first place.
But see, these are people that have not played. These
Thank
are people
you.
That don't that you know that you've been on a football field and you've watched the game and things like that and whatever, and that's cool. You know, I'm not knocking nobody that's never played the game. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, just listen to, you know, pay attention to what
you know, people that have played the game are telling you and then have a little bit of knowledge, just pay attention to that instead of listening to other people who have no knowledge of the game too. Just the blind leading the blind.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, at this point in time, in this whole system of the whole training camp, mini camp, whatever you want to call it, which is a mini camp, actually, no pads, no nothing. You know what I mean? You just out there.
Basketball courts.
Just chilling. You know what I mean? You're not really, you know, they hustling around a little bit. You know, they some of the younger guys are trying to impress. And that could be what this is about. You know what I mean? It's a feel for everything. They're plugging people in different spots and different positions. Is Sam Mustafa going to be the starting guard? Are we sure of that? We don't know. You know what I mean? Braxton Jones, he might be a real good asset to this team. You know what I mean? I'm not going to knock him. He might be a real good asset to this team. Maybe he does, you know, rise up and become a starting caliber tackle in some form, shape, or form. And that would be great for Chicago. That would be great for the Bears, right? Because now we would have several different options.
Kevin Jenkins, a
couple weeks back, man, we had the same situation with Jalen Johnson, right? Where people were like, you know, is he going to, you know, what is he? Is he now, is he gone or what? You know, so this is just them plugging people in. And the offensive line is it's probably the most important positional group on the football field, right? Because you got five guys there and they all have to work in unison to achieve one goal, whether that be pass protection or running the ball. They gotta all work together. They gotta communicate. So they're plugging people in different positions. How does his guy communicate with Cody White here on this play? Because he's right next to him. How does Mustafa handle being at right guard next to Lucas Patrick? You know what I mean? There's a lot of different things. How do they communicate with each other on the line? Those play a factor. And then, you know, it's something that I mentioned to DeVore earlier. You know, what if they're looking at Tevin Jenkins and saying, hey, he's by far our meanest and nastiest of the offensive linemen. Maybe we could at some point put him at guard if somebody else rises up and can play a tackle position. And we make him sort of like our Quentin Nelson. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we could do that. Who knows? But these are all options. These are just things that go through coaches' heads, and then they got to see it on the field to see what they can do going forward with those players. I'd rather have this. You know why I'd rather have this? Because this is stark contrast to what we had with Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. Matt Nagy was get in this position and run this play because, you know, this is the play I want to run or this is how I want my offense set up. With this regime, what this coach is doing is plugging guys in different positions, seeing what their best attributes are, seeing where they fit in their scheme of things, right? And then once you find out what they're good at, what they're best at, then you would start plugging those guys in into those permanent positions. So, you know, I think they're doing their due diligence when it comes to evaluating players. And the most evaluation has to be on that offensive line. If the offensive line's not working, nothing will on the football field. I'm just being real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're doing their due diligence, man, and more power to them for doing it the right way. You know, Poles, Eberflus, this is just more examples and more, what do you say, further evidence that you would say that these guys were qualified, number one, and that they're doing their thing. They're you know, it gives me a little bit more confidence and faith in them and their decision-making process going forward.
Yeah, because under last year's game, I'm tired of last year's game. But last year they decided that Tevin Jenkins was a left tackle, and they just said, all right, he's a left tackle.
Yep.
You know, and then he ended up not being a left tackle. And they ended up signing Peters and didn't have to throw Borrowman in a left tackle. And then Tevin Jenkins was back at right tackle. That's why they move these guys around. You'll probably see Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borm on both sides. You may see somebody kick in that guard. Like you said, they're doing their due diligence, man. And we still can't judge anything until they put on pads. You know, like offensive linemen like to get inside, get their hands inside and grab those pads. What are they grabbing? You know, like a defensive end, if you're fast right now, you're going to have the advantage in the 707, whatever, with no pads on. You know, a guy like Tevin Jenkins won't play as well because he's a physical guy. He likes to, as we all saw the tape, when he took the dude and took him up from the stands and slammed him to the next to the Gatorade jugs. You can't do that.
Right.
In OTAs and minicamp. Hell, they got penalized because right. they were too physical. You know, also got penalized because they were too physical? Lovie Smith yeah. and the Houston Texans. I think they lost money. You know, when people nutted about that, oh, the Bears got up. This was a misstep by the new regime.
Yeah.
Everything. And this is what we're talking about. All these other teams, Bill Belichick gets penalized every offseason for being too physical.
The Cowboys.
The Bears do it, and it's like, oh, been misstep by a new regime. And this is what we're talking about with the media, dude. It's like you're looking for reasons to be negative. You know, and that's the thing. We're honest with our evaluations, but we're just not purposefully negative just to be negative about things, dude. And you see that a lot, man. Also, Mr. Robert Quinn, which everything in Chicago Bears land calls for like 15 blogs to be written about it in total speculation. Quinn was a no-show at camp. You know, he's a veteran. Muhammad was a no-show, but he was there. He didn't practice.
Real quick too. The Seahawks were fined for non-contact. The Commanders were fined yesterday?
Wrong guy.
For contact, right? For $100,000, and they shut down practice for a day. Same thing the Bears were involved with. It happens, bro. This is what happens.
It's football.
They're ramping up. They're starting to ramp up.
They want to hit.
Exactly. You're
playing flag football. You know, you play flag football, right? People don't get hit. It's going to get physical. People going to end up on the ground.
You're playing a game where you either got to move somebody against their will or you got to make somebody look foolish, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't creep into anybody's mind that at some point it's going to get a little bit more physical than it should. Of course it will, man. You got rookies out there trying to be seen. How else can you be seen? By getting a little physical, by taking advantage of the situation. It happens, man. It's not a big deal. But go ahead, man. I didn't mean to go backwards.
Nah, you're good.
Go ahead.
The Robert Quinn thing, you know, he didn't show up to camp. You know, he's a veteran. It seemed like Eberflus was a little disappointed that he didn't show up. So, you know, there's speculation. He could be traded. The Bears aren't – he's not on the trading block, but they're listening to offers. I don't know if they are. I don't know if they aren't. He said that he wasn't trying to get traded back in April. I don't know, man. Like, my view with Robert Quinn is that 2019, dude. When he come here? 2019, 2020? Including us, he had two sacks, bro. Everybody was willing to let him go for a bag of original Frito-Lays. Not even chili cheese Frito.
Just a plain bag of Frito. I ain't going to lie. That was so disappointing.
So he has a good season last year. Now, you know, people acting like we can't live without Robert Quinn. I'm fine with Robert Quinn staying. I can understand that they trade him. He's 32. The rest of the team is young. They signed Muhammad. I heard Robinson look good. We already know Travis Gibson is probably due for a breakout. I can see it. I can see him staying, you know. But we don't know. It could just be a vet don't want to show up at camp. It could be you want to get traded. What's y'all take on it, man?
I approach this with delicacy because, again, I banged on Robert Quinn heavy last offseason.
We all did,
you know. I banged on him heavy, and to say the least, I was outright front and center, you know what I'm saying that I owe him an apology. And I've given him his apology, you know what I'm saying, and given him his flowers, you know, for the amazing season he had this past off season. Moving forward, you don't know what to believe. You know, I've also read a lot of vets do not like to show up to OTA minicamp. They choose to work out, whatever they claim it was. They said it was mandatory, but I guess, you know, I don't know if he had it cleared with others and whatnot. Notice last year, same situation with Eddie Goldman, right? Mm-hmm. Old fat ass wasn't ready, you know, and wasn't ready to report to camp. And notice his fat ass ain't signed with nobody else either. Y'all notice that?
That was a fall off, man. That dude fell off.
He want to eat, man. He don't want to play, bro. He want to spend that money. He want to eat.
He just fell off.
Hey.
Was you seeing some pictures?
No. Oh, I don't know. What I'm saying as far as like him not wanting to play football.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying he fell off like he didn't. Like this, because he wasn't hurt. He skipped that year and then he came back. And I mean, just his descent into from being a good player to just not getting a job was crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, dealing with the Robert Quinn situation, I mean, it'd be great. You know what I'm saying? It'd be dope if we could have him and Muhammad on the other side as the bookend at rushing DN. You know what I'm saying? Would be dope. But if not, cool. You know what I'm saying? And he wants to be traded. I think if he would have wanted to be traded, they would have traded him by now. Somebody would have took it. Maybe for a late round pick, whatever, whatnot. But then again, maybe Poles is holding on to him. Like, you know, there's going to be an injury coming along soon. You know, maybe a team like San Fran or Kansas City or whoever, you know, that feels that they have a strong opportunity or chance to make a push. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? We know it ain't going to be the damn Rams. I don't think they have any picks to give worth mentioning at this standpoint of the damn game.
They'll find some loophole. They'll be like, they traded a 2031 second round.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Found some magical second or third rounder they had in next year's draft due to the trade of Billy Chocohoe back in 99 that was good for 20 years. Who knows, man? You know what I'm saying? But we'll see. Before I start banging on them, I'll take the approach. I'll take that and, you know, let that be what it is and just go from there. So we'll see.
Yeah, I look at Robert Quinn's situation, and I think about everything that could be playing a factor in this situation, right? Robert Quinn, maybe he feels like he doesn't need mini camp and things like that. He doesn't show up. Maybe it's something that he wants. I don't know. Who knows? I can't see him wanting more money. You know, even though he had a nice season, you know, last year, that was great. But let's be real about it. When he was having that season, I said last year that this is what Robert Quinn does. He performs very well when he's in a situation where he's either going to get a contract or, in the Bears situation, it would have been easy to try to get rid of him in the offseason if he didn't have a good season. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, maybe it's a coincidence, you know what I'm saying, that it works out like that. But, I mean, his last season with the Cowboys, tremendous, right? Mm-hmm. And then he came to Chicago the very next year. There was nothing, you know, drop foot or whatever you want to call it. You know, how real was that? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, all I know is that he played very, very poor. Very poor. You know what I'm saying? When he first got to Chicago. And then he balled out because
he was on the verge of getting cut.
At that point, he would probably been on the verge of being let go, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're not going to let him go after having 18-plus sacks. Okay. So he balled out. He did well. We'll see what happens going forward. The other thing is, let's say they wanted to trade Robert Quinn. If I could see that, you don't think other teams around the NFL could see it? And let's not forget that, yeah, he came to Chicago, but if any other team wanted Robert Quinn, he would have got picked up by a legitimate team that was going to vie for a playoff and championship, like what happened with your boy out in the Rams. What's his name? Von Miller. Von Miller went and signed a huge deal with Buffalo because they need a pass rusher. And they're on the, they're a team that's on the verge. They're vying for, you know, possibility of Super Bowl aspirations. So the Bears weren't in that situation, right? But they were the ones that were able to get them. And the reason they were able to get them is because they overpaid, right? And that's what you do in free agency, especially if you're a team that's not on the verge. Guys are going to come to you. Yeah, they'll come to you, but only if you overpay me am I going to come to you. And that's what we did with Robert Quinn. So, you know what I mean? People have to look at it for what it is. You know, stop falling in love with the numbers. I've said it time and time again. Fantasy football and, you know, numbers, guys, they have ruined the game to the point where you don't really take into consideration all these other aspects of football. There are other teams in the NFL that look at Robert Quinn and say, yeah, he balls out, but he balls out when you know, his job is possibly in jeopardy or he's about to collect another bag. Yeah, he'll ball out all of a sudden. So, you know, we'll see, man. We'll see what type of season he puts together this year. If he has another dominant performance, then, you know, more power to him, and I'm all for it. But, you know, you got to show me, because what I've seen is a pattern. It's a pattern that I've seen, and it hasn't changed. So we'll see.
Yeah, and, you know, and he's older. You know, he, what is he, 32?
Right.
Yep. He's 32. So you might get another year out of him. I don't see him being on his team, even if he – let's say he plays, right? Is he going to be on his team 2023? When his team's starting to really go out there and make a push, he's not. He's not. He's not in the long-term, you know, plans of this team, man. So –
right,
it can go either way, man. They can trade them. I wish it would have been like during the draft, but we know Poles gonna like to accumulate picks. So if somebody goes down with an injury this offseason, that's contender and they need a pass rusher, you always need a pass rusher. So somebody in need of services. It just, what's the rush right now? To trade them. I don't see the rush. Damn, minicamp football is in September. It's June, right? We got July, we got August, we got mini camp, we got training camp, we done mini camp, we got preseason. So it's no rush. There's no desperation needed right now. And that's in general with the entire team. You know, you still see people with this desperate mindset.
Right.
You know, I think the one name I want to throw out there that I see all the time in Bears Twitter is actually everybody who has a fan base brings up his name, is the J.C. Treader guy from the Browns. We need to sign J.C. Treader. If they sign him, okay, whatever, you know, fine. You know, I think he's 31, 32, one of them. He played for the Browns. So the Browns have Stefanski, so they ran a similar system that we're running now. So I did a little research on it. The guy didn't practice the whole season. And the reason why he didn't practice the whole season is he was dealing with a litany of injuries, whether it was his ankle, his knees. So basically, they just strolled him out there, and he played during game day. And he played well. He's a good player. But he's older. He's had injuries. He doesn't practice. The Bears already brought in Lucas Patrick. They seem intent on playing Lucas Patrick at center. So I don't see the Chicago Bears signing an aging, injured center, putting him at center, moving Lucas Patrick to guard. You know, and now you're going to – when this guy eventually can't play, you're going to move Lucas Patrick back to center. Like, you got to have continuity on the offensive line. I don't see the Bears signing older veterans who have injury histories. Right. That's not what the Bears are doing right now. A lot of people are caught up with the name game. We talked about this, right? There's a name. I don't recognize this name. So my brain says this person is bad. You don't know this person is good or bad because you haven't seen them play. You have to evaluate football players on football. Football isn't played on the Madden simulator. Football isn't played. I'm looking at a piece of paper and I see names, and those names get made. Stars in the NFL shine all the time. Every year, a star is made.
Right.
Every year. You don't know who – Tyreek Hill was until he became Tyreek Hill. He was just some dude that was a fourth round draft pick that had domestic violence issues. It was a risky pick. Oh, now he's Tyreek Hill. Oh my God, he's Tyreek Hill. People this season, bro, there will be names that will be made on the Chicago Bears if they play well. On the defensive side too, Jalen Johnson might be one of them. He might become a superstar, lockdown corner. Right now, he's like, oh, he's okay.
We said that before. You know, people got to pay attention to this, man. It's not a, you know, we're not just speaking blindly here. We're telling you exactly how this stuff works. This is not Madden, like you said. You don't look at a guy's player card and say, okay, he's got a superstar trait. Yeah. I'm gonna keep him. He's got the superstar development trait, so I know I can develop him into a great player. That's not how this works.
No,
there are guys, and you have to really put stuff on them to see if they can handle that pressure. And then that's how you develop guys. And you know, it takes a lot to go into it. You know what I mean? It's way more than moving some sliders on a video game, man. That ain't how it works. So. Yeah. You know, and we know we're not trying to belittle nobody, man, because we know that you don't think that. But if you don't be careful, if you're not careful, you can kind of believe that without intending to believe it. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense.
Yeah, I think Tyreek Hill was like a 65 on Madden when he first came to the NFL. That's why you can't use Madden.
Exactly.
Right? Because with a superstar depth trade. So you'd have been like, I'm gonna cut this guy because he's a 65 and he's not gonna be hard to develop. He ends up being a superstar. You know, guys get made every year in NFL. Stars fade. I remember CJ 2K. Remember that? He had those couple years where he tore it up, and then guess what happened? He just plummeted. Yep. He was a name.
Yep.
He was a nobody, became a name, and plummeted. That's the NFL.
From Eastern Carolina.
Yeah.
But you gotta have the opportunity, and you gotta be in the right system to make your name.
Yes.
Otherwise, it'll never be made.
Perfect
example.
There are players
that have failed, but have God-given talent and ability, but they failed because they weren't in the right situation.
Right system.
And they weren't given that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. It's not that, you know, and that's across all sports, baseball, basketball, mm-hmm. track and field, anything you might. They didn't. It could be a guy who's fast, but did he have the proper training, the proper coaching to be track speed fast, right? That's what we're talking about here.
Perfect example.
It's a lot that goes into it, bro.
Perfect example. Look at this past NBA Finals when they were calling Andrew Wiggins a bust.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at him because he wasn't in the right system. He wasn't brought up the right way, but now he's at Golden State, and he's looking every bit of a first-round draft pick, a first-round number one overall draft pick. But at Golden State, he doesn't have to be the star. He's doing the dirty work. But then his athleticism and his playmaking ability has led him to when they needed him and when they needed to call upon him, it's allowed him to deliver.
He fits
what they're doing, plain and simple. Yep. Another good example, you know, far as skill set and things of that nature. Look at Akeem Hicks. How many stops did Akeem Hicks have as a journeyman player before he got to Chicago and became the right fit?
Yeah.
Right system, right fit for his skill set and what he liked to do. Who was Akeem Hicks before Akeem Hicks?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He was a no-name guy, the same no-name guy that the Chicago media is saying that is full of this, is full on this roster. A bunch
of
no
name
guys.
He went to college in Regina, whatever it is.
When he first said it on Monday Night Football, I thought he said vagina. I'm like, vagina? Like, okay. What?
Where is it?
Vagina.
Like, Regina, though.
So, you know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. You know, he had that ability and that talent, but it had to be cultivated.
Yeah.
You know,
and he had stints with New Orleans and with New England and couldn't hang on at neither one.
And they were both better organizations, right?
Yeah.
They won the recent Super Bowl. Another name, God bless the dead, Chicago Bears player,
Cedric Benson. I was about to say the same thing.
Cedric Benson. Here we were like, oh, he's a bust. Oh, man, we should have kept Tommy. He goes to Cincinnati and went wild.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
1,000-yard seasons back to back to back.
Yeah, that's Dan Homeboy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless the dead. Rest in peace. But same example. We wrote him off. Oh, man, he ain't going to do nothing.
Yep.
He ain't gonna do that. Cordell Patterson.
Cordell Patterson, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been, he bounced around his whole career. We couldn't do nothing with him.
Minnesota,
New England. Minnesota, Oakland.
Yep.
He goes to Atlanta, 30-some years of age. Bowls up. You know, get with the right team, put him in the right position. He has the same skill. Hell, he's older. He's probably not as fast as he once was.
Right.
And that's the thing, man. We don't know, dude. And people, and that's what kills me, is that I will tell you that I don't know. You guys will tell you they don't know. And then you got people that will literally tell you, like, they know.
I know. Like, oh, you do.
I know this person is going to be bad. How do you know? Well, because I just know. Okay, dude.
The universe tells me so. Like, okay, universe.
Okay, bro.
Like, yeah, it is what it is, man. You know, it's just people, you got to understand, okay? You got to be given an opportunity in order to make a name.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be caught up on names, folks. Because, again, before the Legion of Boom in Seattle, you didn't know who the hell they were. Not one of them. Because neither one of them was an all-pro before they got there.
Yep.
Neither one of them was a high first-round draft pick before they got there. Yep. They were all given an opportunity to make a name for themselves. And they did that. You know, you had Richard Sherman slighted because at the time, guess who the head coach was? And this is why Richard Sherman hated San Francisco so bad. Guess who the head coach was at the time at San Francisco when Richard Sherman fell all the way to the second, third, fourth round? Jim Harbaugh. Guess where Jim Harbaugh was the head coach at before he got to San Francisco? Stanford. And he passed on his own guy. Not just one, not just in the first round, not in the second round, third round. That's why he hated San Fran so bad. That's why he had a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. The safety, Freak of Nature, the Hammer,
Chancellor
from Virginia Tech.
In that draft, bro.
From Virginia Tech. Wasn't he third round?
Yeah, third round.
Third round or fourth round.
Yeah.
Third or fourth round. People forget it was another cornerback that was on the opposite side of Richard Jefferson.
Sherman.
I'm sorry. Richard Sherman. Excuse me.
Byron.
He was long. He was long and lanky, just like Richard Sherman.
I can't.
And he ended up leaving Seattle. What is his name? Something like that with an L. But anyhow, he ended up leaving Seattle, and he went and took the bag elsewhere with the Rams after he got off with Seattle. But he was another guy that was a freak of nature cornerback. You know, the only guy that was really of note was Thomas.
Yeah.
That was it.
Earl Thomas.
That was it. That was it, folks. With a bunch of other unproven second, third, and fourth round guys.
Yep.
Bruce Irvin, linebacker.
Yeah, he was a high pick.
Yeah.
Brandon Browner.
Yeah, Browner. That was his name.
Browner. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, Brandon Browner.
Browner.
Yeah,
that was his name.
6'4", 220.
Another freakish. I mean, these guys, you know, and they end up creating the Legion of Boom.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't know who they were before. They were who they were.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that young guys, see, the one thing I think what there's carryover from regimes. People say, well, at the last, well, there's carryover because people, Nagy never really took young guys and developed, right? Either you were just good on your own, like Mooney, right? You were just so driven that you became good. But there aren't really many guys that he took as a rookie and elevated, right? Like this dude was a UDFA, like Fangio did. Fangio took guys like Roy Robinson Harris and made them into players. And what was the cornerback we had? Callahan, fourth round draft picks like Eddie Jackson and made them good. That's what good coaching does. Good coaching takes a C player, make them a B player. Takes a B player, make them an A player. Take an A player, make them a Hall of Famer. Yep. We haven't had that. So Bear fans are so caught up in the past regime not elevating players. This regime believes they can take a C player and make them a B player. We'll see if they can. They believe they can take a B player and make them an A player.
You know what? It's funny that you mention that because I was in a discussion with some people, with somebody. Actually, shout out to Ray. this was in his little spaces thing that he does, but we was in a discussion and we were talking about coaching and the effect that it has on players. And I was saying that coaching, you're there to create better situations for your players, put them in position to win, right? That's two things. But coaching, you're also supposed to make those players better players. And the dude was like, it's another guy in there that he was like, nah, I don't believe that, man. I think guys are just who they are, and his job is just to move chess pieces on the board. And I'm like, dude, no, man. You gotta make players better. And now you find out what their talents are, and you find ways to accentuate those talents. And then you give them pointers on how to, you know, how do position coaches work on people's footwork. If you're if you're a center in the NBA, you work on your post moves down on the block. That's making you better. That's not, yeah, you got talent, but how do you utilize that talent? You know what I'm saying? And it was like people weren't picking up what I was saying. I'm like, this is not hard. I don't understand. I don't get it. You know what I'm
saying? Don't think anybody – I'm just being honest. And we said this earlier, and I ain't going to sit up here like everybody knows my story. I jacked off my college career being a dumbass as a kid. But they must never have, like, played. Like, have you ever had a coach and played? Like, you don't just show up in the gym. Like, I'm working on my game, and the coach is like, all right, you are what you are. Yeah. And you don't do drills. You don't bring out the ladder and work on your footwork. You don't have you dribbling with your left hand or shooting, like, or running routes until you get your nose over your toes when you're running around. Like just imagine you just show up on the football field and I just start just running. Like, I ain't got no route. Like, they ain't telling me what to do. They're like, run a slant. And I just run what I think is a slant. And no one corrects me. And I run a post, right? And I ain't run a slant. I ran a post route. And they just like, cool. You can't play. Go sit over there. Like, no, the coach is going to be like, that's not a slant. This is a slant. Let me show you how to do it. Like, no, bro. Like, you don't just throw football players on a football field. You coach them up.
Now, Route runners are good because in most cases, they lack some other elite, like elite speed or quickness. So you have to be an excellent route runner. That's why those guys are better at route running than a speed guy. You line up Darius Hayward-Bey, and you line him up against somebody like Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen is going to run the route perfect.
You know, Jarvis Landry, he's ran a 4.6.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Because he lacks the speed. Now, the guy on the other end, he's not focused on that as much because I'm just going to fly past you if I can. You see what I'm saying? So you can't tell me that coaching didn't have some type of effect on Keenan Allen. Because it was like, yeah, you know, we gotta make you better at this. You're good at it. Let's make you better at it. And that's what it is, man. Coaching makes players better. Yeah, they move chess pieces. I get that. You know, start guy here, start guy there, make an adjustment. That's cool. But their job is to make these players better.
Just imagine, coaching don't matter. Phil Jackson said, oh, I got Shaquille O'Neal. I'm gonna have him shoot 3-pointers.
Whatever.
I'm going to have him come off a screen, go to the corner and shoot 3-pointers all game because I'm the coach. That's my system. My center need to shoot threes. Think about it. How would that go? Shaq would be one of the worst basketball players in NBA history.
Facts.
But that's not his game. You say, oh, man, Shaq, 7'2", 350 pounds, all muscle, could dunk on everybody. I'm going to put him in the post. I don't understand how people don't get that culture matters. I can't ask a player to do something that they are not good at, and if they're not good at it, I need to get them up. I'm going to try, and if I realize they can't do that, then I'm not going to ask them to do that, which is, like, I'm not the biggest Mitch Trubisky fan, but I picked on very early that he was not good at throwing the deep ball.
Right.
So if I'm that Nagy, I'm not going to ask Mitch to throw the ball deep. I'm not going to ask him to do a 7-step drop, scan defense and read it and make a play because he can't do it.
Facts.
But he continued to ask him to do it.
Can't do it.
And that was my issue with him. He can't do it. Stop asking him to do it. Do something else.
No, can't do it.
Can't do it.
Won't do it.
I don't understand that. Like, to me, when people say that, it don't matter. No, bro, it matters, bro.
Coaching matters, bro.
It matters.
Coaching is
especially if you're a Bear fan.
Yeah.
Like, look what we've seen the last, like, three regimes since we fired Lovey. Lovey was a good coach.
Yeah.
At least when he was with the Chicago Bears.
right?
Like how the team played. Then he had Mark Trestman.
That's Fox. Another thing. Look at it. The technique. The Bears were known for what? Takeaways, turnovers. They had it was they did it better than anybody's done it. Mm-hmm. Now that was a technique that was taught to them. There were guys that would come and rally to the ball, they would gang tackle, but they would also almost hold a guy up sometimes
just to strip have the ball.
People strip the ball. That's taught, bro. That's taught. That makes the player better. They didn't just do it. They were born with that natural ability to do that. It don't make sense. Seriously.
Exactly. And that's what the San Diego Colts did. That's taught. They rallied to the ball, and guess what? Love, what happened? Remember the one, the Green Bay Packers? Who was the dude that ran right past him? The linebacker? He didn't touch him?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody rallied to the ball. Yeah. That would have never happened in the league.
Yep.
Because it would have been five dudes laying on top of him.
Exactly.
Or they didn't pick up the ball. He didn't pick up the ball.
Right.
The ball was a fumble, and he just ran past it.
Right.
Lovie Smith, they had picked up their ball and ran to the end zone. And they would have had a touchdown. We would have beat the Green Bay Packers. So don't tell me coaching don't matter, bro. It matters. Yep. It matters. It matters. It matters, especially when you got a young team, dude.
Yep.
You know. So that's all I got, man, unless y'all got something further that y'all want to talk about.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, that's it for today, man.
Shout out.
I think we good.
Yeah. The shout out I want to give, I give a shout out. Shout out to Ray Barber. I wasn't even able to hop on his faces the last couple of days. We were busy. A shout out to him. I also want to give a shout out to Brian Perez. Mm-hmm. He's one of the blue check marks. He's legit, man. He has this thing called Bears Talk. He let me and a couple other Bear fans get access to it. I'm going to try to retweeted the shoot John out there, because there's a few people with the blue check mark, man, that are cool, that are legit. Zach Pearson, shout out to Zach Pearson, because he always, like, he'll say, well, Justin Fields, he threw this interception, but he also threw touchdowns. I didn't see any member of the media say that. Like, they just saw, oh, Justin threw a pick today off a tip pass. He's like, yeah, Justin threw a pick off a tip pass, but he also threw some nice touchdowns. That's balance. Don't just tell one side of the story. You're trying to paint a picture, you know, push a narrative, negativity sells. So those are the shout outs I want to give. You
know. That's what's up, man. Shout out to the usual suspects, man. Everybody that rocks with us. Elise, shout out to her. She like, I told her the other day, I said, you like a little statistician for us, man. You come through it, and she give us little tidbits and nuggets all the time, bro. So, you know, we appreciate that, man. So, for real, shout out for that.
Yeah, trash tweets. We Lion Vikings fans, man. It's just all of them, bro.
Oh, trash tweet. I think I had somebody. Yes. I had something. I forgot what it was, though.
I saw one Vikings fan. He had a trade where they traded Kirk Cousins for Justin Fields. Wow. He got drugged, bro.
Yeah. I've seen that too. The stuff they come up with on Twitter, it'd be ridiculous, man. But whatever.
All the way out there in left field.
Facts.
Yeah, they be wilding, bro. They like the whole thing, like bottom five team. Bro, the Jets were the worst defense in the NFL. What did they do to improve that? 32nd. Lions were like 30th. Come on, man.
Crazy. It's really crazy, man. People are nuts, man. This time of year, I don't know if it's maybe. I mean, we ramping up, we getting into it. Maybe it'll die down a little bit, and people will really talk about the game and football, and see some like highlights of things happening. Maybe that'll change the tune or the narrative. Hopefully, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. People staring at sheets and looking at paper and screens and losing their mind, dude.
The nerds.
Yeah. Oh, spreadsheets as according to PFF. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm done for the day.
Until next time, man.
Peace.
Y'all be easy. Peace. Take it easy.